Hello and welcome back to the Muscle and Hustle podcast. I was trying to catch Tony out, but he's too smart now.
Too quick.
We're back. Tony is in Ireland and I am in Ireland. This is a
first time
in a long time. And he's looking very slim. He's looking very, very dead. What do we say? Cut in. But it's been a busy week. So you flew in, you're back in the homeland, and you're back for a while and on your way to Wim Hof.
I'm only back for about a week. Yeah, I'm back for about 6 days and I'm away to Wim, and then I'm back. And I don't know what the story is after that. I'm playing day by day. I'm looking a bit leaner because chipped off about 7 kilos since New Year's. So I'm down about probably a bit more than that. So yeah, just doing a quick fat loss block, get that done so I can do the growing now for the foreseeable. So I'm ideally going to do a good heavy lean gain now till December. I'm thinking of I'm not fully committed yet, but I'm thinking of doing fit to fat to fit. So
fit,
to fat, fit, to yeah. Fit. So getting quite large again to show the whole entire process again.
I used to follow that guy on Instagram.
He done something like that. Yes, I saw.
He was very extreme.
Like, yeah, I don't know how extreme I'd take it, but you know what I'm like.
He gets fat for about 7 or 8 months, and he gets really fat, and then. Yeah. But I don't know if I'm making this up in my head. I think he ran into some difficulties the last time he was doing it, and the doctors had to fucking say, you know, you're doing this too often.
Not good for your body.
You're doing this too often. But I'd say, fucking people love that. Like, we fat Tony.
Something different. I see what the story is.
Wim Hof, where is it? Is it in the mountains? I take it
Wim
it has
Hof,
to be in the mountains.
You fly into Prague and then you go into the Polish mountains, yeah.
Fuck. Probably not the best time to lose a bit of timber. Before you go to go into a cool climate.
Had the choice. Me and Joe had the conversation. I was like, I want to do a lean gain feat. I want to do a big bulk.
Yeah.
He was like, well, you need to be leaner to do it. And I was like, right, dead on. And he was like, well, we'll cut you after Wim Hof. And I goes, why aren't you cutting me before? And he goes, because you're going to Poland in the mountains. You're going to want your body fat. And I goes, yeah, but then I'm just doing fuck all for 6 weeks until I go to Poland. So I was like, surely if Poland wasn't there, you'd be dead at me now. And he goes, yeah. And I goes, just dead at me now then. And he was like, you're fucking nuts. But
you're fucking nuts.
That's a fucking waste of time sitting there for 6 weeks going, oh, I'll go Wim Hof. That's why I keep my body fat. It's 5 days. Like, so progress waits for no man. Fuck that for carrying on.
Progress, that is very true. Now, I'd probably be the polar opposite. I'd be putting on an extra wee layer just to fucking get over it. But then again, I wouldn't be there in the first place.
Is
everybody still going from your group? No pullouts?
So far, yeah. I'd be fucking tempted to pull out. I'm not going to lie. Do you know why, though? Don't get me wrong, I'm going. But the main reason I just don't like it is I don't like to have to be somewhere at a specific date. Like, I feel like I've had to come back for this. Like, I would have liked to have stayed where I was. I was in good flow, good headspace, good training, good routine, business booming. So, like...
Aye.
It's been a bit of, like... It's a good challenge, but I'm sort of like, oh, fuck, I could have done without having to fly home just for this. But you know what? I'll love it when I'm there. It's a like once in a lifetime experience, so I'll just make the most of it. And then I've got the rest of the year to travel, float. I think I'll do maybe 8 weeks in the States after it. So come home for a little bit, maybe go to Spain or go straight to the States. But I'm going to the States for a good bit.
When are you thinking of going to the States?
Probably the end of March. Going to do Texas. I think that's first on the hit list, and then we'll see where the rest takes us. I think travel really opens up your eyes. So the more I travel, the more I don't like living out of a suitcase. That's been doing my tits in. I like going places for like 48 weeks, maybe 12, because I find then I can get my routine, I get my burns, I get in the flow, I get to know people in the area.
Yeah.
Versus being like a drop in and out. So for me, that's where my head's at with that. So that's more so what I'm doing. So travel, but have a life, have a routine around it. But well, I'm looking forward to it. Now, in terms of topics, I think firstly, obviously, I think that we chatted about that last week. I think travel, expanding your horizons, expanding your thought process is really good.
Yeah.
I think as well, a lot of people wait to they have somebody else to go with to go traveling, or they try and not do it alone. Like, I've had a lot of people write to me over the Valentine's or the past prior being like, I just feel very lonely. I want to outline there's a very big difference between being alone and feeling alone. Sorry, being alone and feeling lonely. Lonely is when you feel like you need somebody else to keep you company. And I actually think it's a blessing in disguise. If you can't sit with yourself, take yourself on dates, do stuff that makes you happy, you are reliant on other individuals. That's not good. I used to be like that. And I think you forever hold off on doing things. And on top of that, one of the healthiest things, and I was listening to Naval Ravikant earlier, he's a genius, and a lot of people know him. One of the smartest people I've ever listened to. And he says one of the main reasons that people get anxiety and stress and depression and these main disorders, in his view, now that's not true for everyone, is because they don't spend any time alone to allow their own thoughts to process, because they're internally now. And he feels like one of the reasons for mental health, for loneliness, or all these reasons creeping up, is because you don't have time without music, you don't have time without talking to people, you don't have time without social media. You're just getting so many inputs that your brain actually can't computerize everything, and it's just so much all the time. And the problem is we get addicted to these inputs rather than sorting out. So he calls it, like, now he does meditate for an hour a day, but he doesn't call it meditation, he calls it just self-awareness, where he'll sit and he says that he just lets his mind roam, sort out problems, just let it drift, not worry about breathing or anything, just let it sort. And he says it's almost like clearing out his mental inbox, and he finds that if you do that for like 2 to 3 weeks, it makes your thought process a lot cleaner. You know, you don't have as many stress issues. Yeah. And I do that. Like, I take 20 to 30 minutes most days to myself. I'll maybe take a walk with no music, or I'll sit in a coffee shop with no music, make sure there's no external noise. You know, I'll go super, super early, or I'll journal. And if you're somebody that struggles to be alone, or you struggle making decisions, or you struggle your own headspace, like anxiety, overwhelm, finding a really good flow spot for that can be an absolute, like, it's literally like just that will problem solve for you, because you're allowing your thoughts to speak.
Yeah, I would do it the odd time in the car. Sometimes I just don't bother putting on the podcast, or don't bother putting on music, and I'll just, like, I don't know if I'd say decompress, but I definitely enjoy the silence sometimes, that it can just kind of gather where I'm at, you know, thought wise and, you know, different stuff. But it is definitely, it's something that I don't know, I don't like walking, so walking in silence would fucking annoy me. Like, I have to get some sort of like pleasure if I'm going to go for a walk. So I normally like to catch up on audiobooks that I'm listening to while I walk. But I can get that there's something very distracting about the world at the minute, isn't there? Like, there's, like, you can never really be fully bored now with a phone and with fucking Netflix. And it's like back in the day, like, people go, oh, there's nothing on TV, somebody tell me something to watch. But now, like, you've got everything at your fingertips, be it, like, all the streaming platforms, be it your TikTok, be it Instagram, be it YouTube. Like, there's always content. There's always something to absorb. And reality is, like, you're rarely, like, alone with your own thoughts now, because it's just all distractions, which I know some people probably self-medicate with them distractions and don't allow themselves to be in silence. But sooner or later, there probably is going to be a build-up. It's probably going to be, I suppose, anything, like, any negatives that you're thinking about, they're going to build up if you don't address them early. But it's something probably I'm probably guilty of a wee bit, where I like to go to bed listening to something, and I feel, or maybe I lie to myself and say, oh, that helps me decompress, but maybe it doesn't. I don't know, I must actually kind of think about it, because I've been doing it that long, I don't really give it any thought anymore. I just go to bed with, like, the sound of, like, a podcast,
I can't do that,
or like a sound of, but then I don't know if it's like, I would do it more after gigs, and the only reason I do it is because my ears be slightly ringing, so if there's this, any sort of a noise, it stops the ringing, if you know what I mean. So it does help me sleep in them nights. But I'm trying to think if I do it nights where I'm not gigging. I don't always do it.
I think in terms of, it's like Naval calls it, just sort out your mental inbox. And if you don't do it, it starts to just build up and everything looks like spam and junk. And I think that's a really nice way to put it, because I find that whenever you take a walk, or you, I don't think necessarily venting over people is the right move. I think a lot of people put their weight of their problems on other people as decision metrics. Like, something I used to do all the time, and I'm sure you can relate to this, others will. See, whenever you bring your problems to somebody else, don't get me wrong, I'm all for sharing and, you know, a weight, like a weight shirt is a weight half and all that. But you're the one making the decisions at the end of the day. Whenever you are almost giving your decisions to another individual, it sort of makes you worship making them over time because you're always looking externally for somebody to solve your problems, whereas there's no right or wrong answer, and that's the main problem or decision, the main problem that most of us face. I've always done that. There has to be a right answer. There has to be a right decision. So you go through different people's opinions, but the thing is, you can always sway them the way that you want, just depending on how you speak about it. They're just help guiding you to the answer, but the problem is sometimes you don't want them to guide you. You want them to tell you, and this isn't how your life is supposed to be led. And it's a really good example of, like, there's a famous quote where they say a day a boy can become a man is whenever he realizes he asks his father or his parent figure a question and then realizes that the parent actually has no closer answer than they do. And you've got two choices. You can either step up and become the man now, or you can let them still lead you even though you know they don't have as much of a baldies as you do. And that's whenever you have to decide when you're willing to. And most people don't realize, but they actually never take that initial step and go, right, well, I'm making the call. And that is actually something that keeps you trapped and empowered. Like, it stops your empowerment. So I think that's a very strong thought process that a lot of people get wrong. So it's like, am I going to this person for advice, or deep down, am I going to this person so I don't feel alone in this problem, so I don't have to solve it by myself? Because just remember, though, even if you make the so-called wrong decision, it'll loop you around in the long run. It teaches you. Too many people are worried about short-term pain. I put up a thing by Naval the other day on how to make decisions, and he actually says purposely always choose the road of more pain at the start, or the initial pain, because he says that is going to always lead to more longer term growth that you'll thank yourself in the long run. And if you tend to find that you've got a negative bias, if you think there's short term pain and there's a decision where there isn't on the other side, you'll make that decision without realizing it seemed better because there's no pain in the short term, although it probably gives you pain in the long run. So from a decision making perspective, it's very difficult to get good at making decisions, but I just feel like making a decision is half the battle. It's like people that weigh up, what am I going to get from means, and just make a fucking decision, roll with it. I think it's so much of an energy drain, and you can waste a lot of your time doing that. Somebody said that as well. It was one of the questions we got, and you want to dive into this, being too self-critical. Would you say that is I would say that's a double-edged sword. I would say that's like being too self-aware. It's like you can be over the top with it. Now, don't get me wrong, but I do believe that I'd rather be too self-critical than not at all. It's like it's a two-edged sword.
It is. Just a wee thing before that, just when you were saying, there was a Nick, it's not Nick Pierce, someone I know was saying that they train super hard in the morning, like put themselves through a grueling workout. They do kind of like kettlebells and CrossFit sort of stuff, because they know that that's going to be the hardest part of their day, and anything that comes after that is going to be a lot easier, and they find that they go through the day a lot happier, because they know that the work they put in that morning has set them up for the day. That's just a thought that was coming to my head when you were talking about that, about the short-term pain and the harder road. Self-critical. See, I would be very self-critical, but I'm self-critical of my DJing, but I'm also coming from an unbiased point, if you know what I mean. But I know it's a dangerous thing for a lot of people to be self-critical, but I can use it, or I don't know if I just maybe come from a different place, that I can use it for good. But I know some people that are very self-critical of their looks and all, and then they would like go on crash diets and different stuff. It can be a very dangerous thing to be just too much. I suppose being too much in any way. I suppose the other side of it is, when you're not critical in yourself and you let yourself, you don't hold standards for yourself. That's not a great thing either. And we hate the word balance on this podcast. That's our new hate word. But there is probably a sweeter spot somewhere in between that you can hold yourself quite accountable, but not to the point where you're fabricating stuff in your own head. You know, like looking in the mirror going, fuck, I'm fat. I need to not eat now for 2 days or 3 days or a week, and end up getting yourself into eating problems. But the self-critical thing, it is,
that's not a curse.
I would. You'd probably be self-critical yourself, wouldn't you? Of yourself.
I'm too much. I'm to the extent my ones would say I'm too much.
But you're not critical of other people at all. Like, you don't give a fuck.
That's judgment.
Aye, like you don't. But you aren't critical. You wouldn't critique other people. ever. Like, you just, oh, you just, you're, no, like, that's not, that's not your,
me.
Aye, that's, aye. You're the same. Now, I would, well, I have to kind of, in my job of booking entertainment, I have to critique other people and I have to have, like, an opinion, because if, like, I'm booking an act, I have to kind of be able to go, yeah, well, they're good, like, so that's my opinion, they're good, but I maybe have a venue going back and go to me, no, they're fucking shite. So I have to be a wee bit critical on our people, but I'll always be more critical on myself. But then I would also, and this is unfair, I would hold other DJs to my standards, which isn't fair on them. But I would be, I weirdly, I'd be more self-critical about myself, about work, than I would actual my health and my personal, you know, I would know, I always treat people with respect. I'm a very respectful person. I'm pretty polite. But I would, you know, I know when I shouldn't fucking eat shite, but eat it. I know I should go, well, I'm back in the gym now. I'm fucking hybrid athlete, hashtag. But I would be critical by more business than I would personal, which is probably the opposite of other people. Other people maybe don't give a fucking business life, but are very critical about their appearance, which I don't have. Like, and I probably wish I fucking did a wee bit more, because then I wouldn't go through peaks and troughs like I do every year.
Depends on what you find is important in your life and where you're pushing. You probably struggle to push in every sort of dimension at the one time period. Like, I think you have to chase one rabbit, and then when you catch it, you can hold it and you can then move on. Whereas the problem is, you try and chase too many rabbits at once. Like, you try and build a massive, like, fucking bodybuilding fucking body while you run a business, while you also manage kids. You just, as much as people say, oh, you have the time, and all, you don't. You've got to prioritize what's most important. It's what I say to everybody I mentor. I'm like, your week has to reflect what is the biggest priority in your life right now. And if that is not business, then that's completely fine. But it's just, it takes the pressure off yourself of not feeling like everything has to be moving at once. Now, I'm not saying move backwards, because you can still hit 3 gym sessions a week. It's 1.4% of your week, but it might not be the right time to dial in dad because you're dating, and that maybe that's a priority.
I was just thinking that it's so hard to, like, dial in diet while you're dating. Or
see,
if you're,
I don't
dating.
Know. I would straight up disagree, because I would turn around and just say, do dates that don't revolve, or do you bank your calories for that day, or take the day off, and then the rest of the week should be fine.
Yeah. Well, it depends if the date's, like, depends what the date is. If the date's going out for a few drinks.
Yeah, but then, see, for me, that probably isn't what I'd be doing on a date. You know, I'd be thinking to myself, like, what would I be doing most nights on? Like, I know it's obviously easy to break the ice, and it's probably one of the main things. But
no, but not a first date, but if you're going on dates with someone, like, if you're dating someone and they want to go out for cocktails, like, it's going to be hard to... Nope.
You just get gin and tonic or something. You have to walk that baseline. You be who you are, and straight off the bat, then it sort of builds, like, what sort of way you're entering that, and then they know exactly who you are. Because otherwise, are you really showing yourself and where you want to go and what you're focusing on? Versus, it's different if you are like that. You know what I mean? It's very different. But it's one of the things where, for me, I would almost be showing, like, a fault. Like, I could go out for 3 or 4 drinks, but, like, say I was to get plastered with a girl on, like, a first date or two, like, that's just not who I am. That's me showing.
But that's not you. But it's well, I'd never get plastered with a girl, maybe, but it's me. Like, I love going out for a night. Like, there's nothing more. I love going out.
And you do that
for,
you know,
a super Sunday, but it's tough if you're. That's tough if you're trying to kind of, like, if you're on a cut and, like, girl goes, right, say, let's go out for we'll go out all day Sunday. We'll go around, we'll do a bit of a pub crawl, we'll go see loads of live music, whatever.
But then your value reflects that, so your value reflects that relationship more than whatever the other value is. So then that's fine, you just accept that. But it's not the case that it's so hard to, it's just a case of what you're prioritizing at that time period.
Yeah.
Which is completely fine. There's no stress. That's whenever you beat yourself up because you're trying to handle two things at once. Whenever, like, I always say this to my clients, I'm like, oh, work's picked up, you're extremely stressed. Now's not a good time to diet. Like, it's a terrible time to diet.
Yeah.
Now, there is not going to be, like, a perfect time for you, but there is going to be probably a slightly better time than right now, right at this moment. And so then, you know, that comes into play too. And I think you have to try and be a little bit tactical there. I do think self-critical, for me, I'd rather be overly self-critical, overly self-aware, than the opposite side of the spectrum where people don't do any of that work, and either they're they think they're a little too smart, or they're not doing any sort of self-reflection. Because I do feel like the way to self-mastery is through that. You know, it's through spending time alone, spending time analyzing yourself, spending time analyzing what's going wrong. That's why I always love New Year's. And the problem is, so many people set out goals for New Year's. What I do is I always outline like what I want more of in the year. And then what I do is I always book in like the last Friday of the month. And for the next 12 months, I just sort of spend maybe half a day, maybe 2-3 hours in a coffee shop going like, is this, like, has anything improved here? Because goals or actions are just dreams and they're wank. And I think people mentally masturbate over this. And this is why a lot of people don't get anything done, is because yes, you can write down the goals and you can vision plan it, you can attract it. But like actually going, has anything fucking happened in the last month that's moved me towards this, towards where I want to be? And if it hasn't, what needs to change? Because you know, otherwise you're literally doing nothing. And I think that's very important, because it's all well and good writing down your goals, but it's the action that leads you to become the person you want to be. And it's stacking that proof behind you that's so, so vital, especially whenever it comes to being self-critical. Like if you're going to be a self-critical individual, it's making sure you're not just nitpicking for the sake of it.
Yeah,
it's always just like, it's asking yourself like, am I nitpicking here, or is this serving me, is this helping me, or is this hindering me? You know, there's obviously that middle ground.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, it is. We talked about it, like the people that like listen to the self help podcast or read the books and then don't fucking do anything with it, but will tell other people, oh, you need to read this book, it's fucking class. But yet nobody uses anything out of it.
Knowledge without implementation is just mental masturbation. Like, yeah. And that's why like a lot of people will say, like I know one business owner in particular that's went from like earning really good money to earning, like he's a multimillionaire now, and he says one book done it for him, and he just kept rereading the one book and implementing it. Like,
what book was it? Rich Dad Poor Dad?
No, fuck, it wasn't that. I think it was Traction. I'm not fully sure. I was more interested in the point he was making about the fact of like, it's not about how many books you read, it's about what you implement off the back of that.
Yeah, well, like the execution's everything. Like,
yeah, but it's like having a meeting with loads and loads of businessmen that are super smart. That's all well and good, but the first one's probably told you the same thing as the last one, and you know what you need to do. It's just actually doing it. Whereas whenever you keep coking through books or podcasts or anything for the answer's actually in what you're avoiding, which is just doing the straight up fucking work. And that is the most frustrating thing. Whereas sometimes you don't realize, but you're almost looking like that shortcut by doing it. And I think I've done that before, where you're like, you're constantly looking for that next wee bit of goal, that next wee thing that could really help you, which is what the podcasts are all about. But it's like, you know, when you listen to this podcast and then not implement and say, for example, what I talked about, the journaling there, or taking that time to reflect on yourself, or Joe, spending some time alone, because then you're just listening for the sake of listening, which is great, but that's just giving you more input. And to be honest, that's not me putting you off podcasts by any means, because sometimes when I listen to podcasts and they say stuff like that, I'm like, fuck's sake. But I think that does reiterate the point of like what needs to happen to really move the needle for you in life. It's always going to come down to that action, especially even self-reflection inward, which I think is a really good trait to have, because you might be a little bit hard on yourself, but I'd rather be like that than the opposite side of the spectrum where you're not, and then your habits flow in. You know, there's so many things off base.
Yeah, so it's like even there you would find it in like I'm the same like with training. Everybody wants the secret sauce. Everybody, like when they see Tony, when Tony puts up the pictures of the mad transformations that some of his clients have got, two things. Everybody wants to know the secret, and the people that don't want to know the secret always like to blame performance enhancing drugs.
But every time,
everybody thinks there's a secret. There's a secret. What do you do different? What's the secret? Secret normally is consistency. Consistently do something. Consistently change something. And probably the same applies for life. If you want to be a better businessman, run a better business, you have to consistently do it week on week. You can't have a good week followed by five shit weeks.
Same relationships, yeah.
Same as relationships, same as winning. Like, consistency is key. Consistency is key for fucking everything. And anybody that's like got results in the gym, it's normally after you've managed to string together a couple of weeks of good training and good relationship, you know, consistently putting in the effort, consistently, like, you know, telling the person how much you care for them. Because sometimes people need, you know, they need reassurance. And then you come a point 6 months down the line where you don't send that sweet text anymore, or, you know, different stuff. Because we're not, you know, creatures of habit sometimes fall into the, you get into the, what is it, like, autopilot zone. And that's the same in the gym. You know, people that, like, I always look at the people in the gym who's got the notepads. And they're writing down their sets, writing down, like, their thing. Or boys that are timing their rest periods. And that would tell me someone, they're getting a wee bit more dialed in than this guy is on his phone scrolling during, in between sets. Not saying that they're training, you know, one's better than the other, but I always like to see a part of, like hitting the timer, writing down their sets and reps. Because it would tell me that there's maybe a bit more methodology, a bit more methodical in it.
But, yeah, I was going to say a bit more action taken. It's the same, like, that's why I always say about the reflection stuff. Like, I just say, like, it's something that where whenever you're reflecting, you can, if you take that time alone, what you can do is you can ask yourself, like, you can break down your life into areas, right? Finance, spiritual, you know, like, you can even put in, like, laughter, you know, time away, downtime, relationships, sex life. And if you notice, right, well, fuck, everything is actually moving really well here, but my sex life, my relationship aren't scoring well. Well, then you need to just start some effort into that area, and then you just put a wee bit more in there, and then you review it again, and you go, right, well, what do I do here? And you go, right, well, we're not having date nights, so we're going to have that on a Friday, and I'm going to make more of an effort to make me look better. And then, you know, naturally, that little bit of effort will improve it. And if it goes from a 4 to 5 or 6, and you continue that until it's up to baseline, you communicate about it, you make game plans. It sounds monotonous, but that's how you get a really good quality life. It's like you're constantly rebalancing things that go off slightly because you're losing the focus for it. Whereas if you don't stop, look around, you things tend to slip, and that's happened to me without you realizing. You're not getting as much downtime. You're getting a little bit of anxiety because you're not checking in on yourself. And I feel like men are really guilty of that, and that's why I always relate to therapy, because it forces you for an hour. Whereas I think we're all guilty of, like, saying, oh, I will reflect, or I will do this, and then days roll into weeks and weeks roll into months. Whereas when you pay somebody physically to be there, it's like a PD session, you just show up. So it's the same with the therapy. Like, I always paid for mine in advance, and now I don't really have to, because I've always got them sort of dates journal in. I tend to do it every single week on, like, a Friday morning. I take a walk, I journal, I read, I have a coffee, I ask myself weekly, like, I'm like, what's went well? What's went poor? What do I want the weekend to look like? Because I have a real habit of working over the weekend. So doing mine just before the weekend works wonders. And that for me is really, really vital. And it's really made a big, you can notice it whenever you speak to me in person. Now people will be like, you're a lot calmer. And I'm like, just a lot more settled, because I know what's went poor, what's went good. And I'm constantly aware of what I'm just nudging up. And yes, things will still come from underneath you, but it's just trying to forever improve upon yourself. It's not because you're beating yourself up, it's just recalibrating. And I think that's vital, because otherwise you do get thrown off center, can fuck with your head a little bit. And especially if you want to go the distance, you don't want to melt yourself, taking that little bit of downtime to sort of sort out any issues in your head. So if you're feeling a little bit off, there's a relationship issue, there's a friendship issue, you're not feeling as happy as late, you can sit and sort of ponder that. It doesn't need sorted in one day, but taking that little bit of downtime week on week can really just help you, as you said, decompress and figure out, where's my mind going here? And if it is a wee bit fucking rapid, then that's a sign you probably need to do it more and need to get more comfortable with it. If you just say, like, fuck, I can't take a walk without a podcast, it's probably not a great sign, because, like, you're not made for constant inputs. That's why now more than ever mental health's probably suffering. And it's like, the minute people are bored, like, the minute a movie gets born, boom, phone out. The minute the phone gets born, something else, scroll, Netflix. Yeah. It's like this constant, like, how can I just, like, dull my minutes? And it's actually taking time to breathe and reflect and enjoy the moment and ask yourself, right, well, where, like, am I spending too much time on my phone? Am I spending time with family? Like, after this, I'm only home today, and I know rightly, like, the temptation will be to do a bit of work because I was in the airport, I was traveling, like, but I need to spend time with my ones. And it's that clear reflection before I came home and be like, right, don't get caught up in this, tomorrow I have to reflect anyway. But I think just, and now most people, like, if you say you don't time, it's not wise. As Mickey said, you can do it in the car, but it's just letting you don't need to write things down, just letting your brain sort of relax and sort of jumble the shit out. And I think that's a very important way to do it, because everybody gets a bit anxiety, everybody feels low, everybody feels high, everybody feels a bit underwhelmed, overwhelmed. And I think it's because we expect life to sometimes be a wee bit more than it is, but it's important that you just reframe yourself. And the more that you can do that with self-reflection, the more grateful you'll be, and you'll rewire that neuroplasticity to be in a much better place over time, because it's repetition, just as we were saying. But that's with your thought process too. Like, nobody just wakes up and becomes a very grateful person. It's like routine, habit, rituals for months upon months upon months. And then that's what builds you up in that sense.
Yeah. Just want a quick question while you were talking there. You said about feeling calmer and being calmer. Did you feel like you weren't calm?
I just felt like I was always chasing more. I feel like...
But when people were talking to you, was it you were like, you were in a heightened state where you were like buzzing? You were always buzzing because you were like hurrying to the next thing?
More like I didn't have time for them.
Hurrying to the next thing.
Trying to fit everything in and nothing. And I was like trying to fit clients in and coaching and mentorship and property and a girlfriend, family, and to each individual and myself and get my gym. Just so much. Whereas now I just be like, right, well, you have to figure out what you're going to say no to. And for me, that was probably one of the most important things. So like I figured out, right, what am I willing to be shit at? What am I willing to not put time into? And then once you figure that out, you're like, right, that makes a lot of sense to me. So like I try and avoid meetings where like that person's probably not going to have like me and Stephen are supposed to have an ad meeting. He was like, we can meet them in Belfast and do lunch. And but I was like, that's an hour down, an hour back. And I was like, an hour and a half there. I was like, just do it in Zoom. And he's like, it's not the same. And I was like, yeah, it's not the same, but them 2.5 hours or time I would rather invest in something else. And it's figuring that out, because otherwise you string yourself along too many directions. And I was too rushed doing too many things at once. And you can't be, I do believe it's hard to be a jack of all trades and not like, you have to really dial in on what you want your life to sort of stand for and where you want it, because otherwise you'll be pulled pillar to post. And that's how people end up out every single weekend, even though they don't want to. You just get clear. But I definitely was one of these people that was more rushed because I wasn't giving myself that time. It's because I will turn around and say I was so, so busy. But the thing is, you'll get more done whenever you do that, because you'll feel calmer. And whenever you're calmer, you make easier and better decisions.
Yeah.
And you also get to analyze areas of your life where you're maybe losing time, like scrolling, not lying out your clothes the night before, not getting up earlier, staying up late at night. You'll get that time back just by self-reflecting. So it's actually, you might feel like you lose time doing it, but you'll actually gain time because you'll be able to analyze every area of your life, from not just the areas I said, but also your physical, mental health, your time management. Things will just come to mind. Your brain will start to figure out the gaps. Like it does, it's smart. You are intelligent. You can learn, and it'll figure out, right, well, I'm struggling, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, but I am spending 7 hours on my phone a day. Like, right, so let's maybe try cutting that down. Or maybe I'm vaping too much, or maybe I'm fucking not taking enough walks. Just wee ideas will pop in your head, and then you just implement them slowly into your diary or whatever way you're planning your week. Or if you don't plan your week, just theme in. You know, every Thursday, go for a walk regardless. Build your self-standards that you always adhere to, and then that builds you as a person over time.
Like Thursdays. Here, we're not doing a long one today because Tony is family time, and family time comes first. But we have found one of the questions, right?
Good man.
And one of the questions was, this is, I'm sorry about this here, this was a few weeks ago and we only seen it in the master request, is, can your ego be a good thing? Can having an ego be a good thing? Sorry.
You can answer, or I can answer. I know my answer to this.
I think yes, because I think if you have a slight ego, that you hold yourself to better standards. I think it's better. I think if you have a wee bit of an ego, you can hold yourself to better standards, demand better from yourself, and demand better treatment. Not better treatment, demand being treated well. I think too many people in life is allowing people to walk over them at the minute. Well, not at the minute, but just in general. I know certain people, chatting to people, that they will let people walk over them, whereas before they wouldn't have. And I think that comes down to, you know, having a bit of pride in yourself, and maybe having a bit of just taking a bit of responsibility. I think there maybe... that kind of falls into that category. That's my kind of taking it. I think it's once again, like the first thing, it's a fine line between a maniac and not. But I think if you've a slight one, that you can hold yourself to a higher standard, and I don't think that can ever be a bad thing.
Fine line. I think it depends how big the ego is and what it's attached to. So for me, I think some ego is going to be necessity in most people to actually progress, to move forward. Like the three biggest traits of a successful person is superiority complex, insecurity, and the ability to have short-term gain for long-term gain, really. So in other words, delay gratification. So they're the three main traits, usually for like a millionaire. But so I think ego to some extent is okay. I definitely do. I love Ryan Holiday's book, Ego is the Enemy, though. So I do sort of, he doesn't say it's bad in it, but he does say like, you need to be very careful how much of a line you allow that to walk. So I think it's just making sure it doesn't hold you back. So like a really good example of like an ego decision that I made that I couldn't figure out whether my Raptor was because it was ego-based or whether it was because it was my dream car, so I just sold it. That was the main reason I sold that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, am I driving this for me or am I driving this for others? And when I sold it and drove my mum's car for a month, I realized I was actually driving it for me. It wasn't for others. But I didn't know that until I got rid of it. Whereas I know most people wouldn't. They would trick themselves into thinking that. Whereas I was like, I'm not willing to attach my ego to a material object. It's like, can you work as a CEO of a company and then go stack shelves in Tesco and know there's no difference in your value? That is where like ego comes into play for me, isn't being negative. Like, I will still be willing to stick my hands back in the dirt and do anything that's needed. Like, it's like, that is really, really key for me. Whereas I've had an ego before for me on the way up before, where it definitely made me come across as cocky or arrogant or rushed. And you can actually lose yourself in that because you're so scared of losing your status.
Yeah.
So I think we're always playing a status game, and that's where the ego comes from. But it's just knowing that the status game is part of society, but it's not who you are. Like, yes, you can be seen more externally as being more wealthy with more money or better with more followers or better with more jacked. But it's knowing that, yes, that can build your self-worth, but it's self-worth. Whereas if you let the ego override you, it shows you're being sort of externally self-worth, if you get me. Like, you're learning the external validation through others to give you your self-worth, whereas your self-worth should be completely internal, based on like the fact you worked so hard, you got the car, you worked so hard, you got the body, you went through the lows and the highs to build your relationship. Like, that's, that for me is more so why ego is good, because then you hold yourself to that standard, which I think is what you're getting at. And I think it plays a part. I just think there's a fine line between where it helps you and it sabotages you. And you have to figure that out. Whereas I do feel like a lot of people don't realize how it sabotages them. One of the main examples is, guy comes straight out of uni, gets a normal job, buys a BMW 4 Series, something, or some sort of car similar, that's £500 a month, maybe a third of his wage, and like almost his possessions own him, but he won't move down in car, even though he knows it's too much for him. Or he gets away with it because he's like, look, I've not really got any more expenses. Whereas if he put that money away, saved it, he could maybe buy a house a lot sooner, which would be a smarter financial decision, which would give him more safety in the long run. And that will actually give you ego in the long run, because you're going to do better in the long run. But it's that short-term pain for long-term gain. So for me, I think it's knowing when it serves you and when it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so it's about harnessing it and not going too far beyond, because you can become an egomaniac, and then that's when the issues come.
Yeah, like I think as a male, it's good. I don't think it's a bad trait to have. Like, I'd rather have some than none, but it's just making sure what way it's leading your decision and thought process. And because before you realize, you can be doing stuff like buying Rolexes that you can't afford, or you're looking too you're being status driven by that alone. I think as a male though, it's a good thing to drive you forward, because everybody wants a bigger ego. Like, as much as people don't want to admit, they want more status. So it can be beneficial, but as we said, it's a fine line. It's like everything, you have to call where it benefits. Like, somebody might be better with a bit more ego than others because he operates at a higher level that way and it serves his life, whereas others might not be. So everybody's balancing line for that will be different. But I think for me, I definitely have a little bit of an ego, but I know that I do things that remove it. So like, for example, like today, whenever I came home, my ones were I just drove my mum's car down because it was the handiest thing to take to the barbers. I didn't be like, oh, I need my Audi, I need this. Like, mum's car's fine, or it was my auntie, sorry, but like Fiat Panda, it's 2003, like it's 20 years. I don't care. If you can't do that, then that's where I would be like, do stuff that would make you be like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, Joe, I'm not saying we're fucking ripped tops out in public, but you know, do your material possessions matter to you? Does it matter how others see you, or does it matter how you see yourself? And that's the question where I'd be asking you. That's how you know if it's ego driven too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a big thing as well. A lot of people are doing things, you know, well, they think they're doing them for themselves, but they're really doing it for other people. Because they, you know, they almost care more what other people think
about. Well, are you getting the Rolex for yourself, or are you getting that for somebody else to comment on it? And that's where that line comes from. Are you getting the nice truck for you or for other people? I remember loads of people slagging me about the truck and all when I got it, like, because of the size of it, but like, I know I got it for me. I actually would buy another one in the morning now. I know if I got a car, it wouldn't faze me, but I think sometimes you have to buy them and then realize, right, maybe that was an ego decision, or maybe that wasn't, and then you learn for future. Because like, for me, the security and the weight of not paying monthly direct debits, for me, I really enjoy that. Like, don't get me wrong, I have quite a large amount for the business now. We've got videographers, we've got editors, we got staff. But in terms of my own personal expenses for just like I don't know, taking out things on finance. Like, there's nothing. Like, there's nothing. It doesn't add to my life. It takes away from my life. Now, it's different if you, if that builds yourself where if you work harder because of it, then I'm all for it. Like, if you buy a really good car, it makes you feel like the man, you work harder, you play harder, it just adds to your life, then you fucking go for it. But see, for me, it didn't really do that. And I was like, well, this doesn't really make much sense.
When did you get rid of that car?
The truck, probably about a year and a half ago now.
Oh, was it a year and a half?
I have the Audi over a year. I got the Audi last January. I'd done 4 months, 5 months driving my mum's car, then got the Audi. And I have the Audi about a year. I might sell the Audi because I'm going to go away for a bit, or I might sell my dad's car and give him the Audi. I don't know. We'll see.
Very good. That's a nice car. Yeah, guys, we're going to wrap it here. Tony's going to go do family stuff. Cheers for the ratings and reviews and the shares. We went in the charts again this week in the UK charts, which is a big one. We were 70, peaked at. So thank you very much.
Appreciate the likes. That. Appreciate the shares. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Yep. Tell the dog.
Tell the friends, family, dog. Share it. Do whatever you have to do, and we will catch you.
Give us topics. Give us topics.
Send us some messages with topics, because we're starting to run out of topics, guys. And we don't pre-plan these because we like to go off the cuff. So
in other words, we're lazy as fuck.
Yeah. So send us some topics you want to hear or some questions. We're going to start sharing the question box again. And we'll get you next time. Cheers.
Big love.